Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of dealing with sorrow, but we're specifically focusing on the sorrow that comes from choices we've made that can't be undone and produce consequences that we're not happy with. For a few weeks, we talked about sorrow due to the loss of someone or something dear to us, but last week, we began to talk about sorrow over choices we've made that can't be undone. Choices ranging from where we simply made a bad decision, we ignored the red flags along the way and made a choice that hurt us and or others, to situations where we made what we thought was a good decision, but it didn't turn out like we had hoped and expected, all the way up to outright sinful choices. This kind of sorrow is called regret or guilt. We have to learn to deal with both regret and guilt so that it doesn't turn into overwhelming despair. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, told them to put a man who was sleeping with his father's wife out of the church because he refused to repent. Well, the guy did repent. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul told them to receive this man, forgive him, and comfort him. Comfort means to exhort and lessen the suffering and raise his spirits and encourage him. So that let me read the verse. Now is the time to forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, he may be so discouraged that he won't be able to recover. One translation says overwhelmed by despair. If you have regret and guilt, you have to learn how to deal with it. Otherwise, you can be overwhelmed by overwhelming despair. Now, we defined a few things yesterday that I want to briefly review and then move on. You have to understand, it is difficult to talk about this because there are a lot of different scenarios. Everybody listening probably has a regretful situation or something they feel guilty about, a wrong or sinful choice, a wrong done to another person, a wrong against God, and we can't address every scenario. I'm just asking God to help me give general principles and trust the Holy Spirit to specifically apply them in your situation. So you do that as well. Ask him, show me how to deal with this according to your word. And then we made the point, too, that regret and guilt are difficult to define because they have different shades of meaning, and both can be a feeling as well as a state of being. If you do something wrong, if you break a law, if you rob the Quick Trip, you are guilty. Doesn't matter how you feel, you are guilty. You've broken a law. You are guilty. That's real guilt. But you can also feel guilty even when you're not guilty. A lot of Christians struggle with this. They feel guilty and they haven't really done anything wrong. If you're feeling guilty, you need to analyze, have I actually done anything wrong? We said a lot of times people make rules for themselves that they break and then they feel guilty. You know, you say you're going to read your Bible an hour every day and then you don't do it and you feel guilty. But you're not actually guilty. You haven't broken any law. You feel guilty because you made your own rule and broke it, but you're not actually guilty before God. It's weak flesh, not real guilt. Many people struggle with just a feeling that they've done something wrong. If you were raised constantly being told you're a bad boy or a bad girl, you may struggle with that. What do you do with that kind of guilt? God has given us his written word to tell us what he does and doesn't expect of us. And the Holy Spirit is here to help us, to comfort us, to encourage us. If you've done something wrong before God, you know it. If you have to go looking for stuff that you've done, that's your first clue that you're feeling false guilt. If you've done something wrong, ask the Holy Spirit, show me what it is. And if something doesn't come to you immediately, you're being plagued by false guilt. And you need to look at the devil and go, ha, 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 ha. I'm not falling for it this time. I'm free. I'm free. And we'll discuss a little bit later on how you deal with guilt over stuff you've really done wrong. But let's get to it. How do we deal with the regret, the remorse, and the guilt that arises from choices that produce negative results beyond our power to change? How do we encourage ourselves when we feel this kind of pain? Well, to begin to answer those questions, we're going to consider something that happened to Peter, one of Jesus's first disciples, one of the original 12, Peter. As you may recall, he denied Jesus on the night before he was crucified. How do you get over something like that? All four Gospels mention it. I mean, it's a big deal. How do you get over that? You recall what happened. I'm not going to read whole passages because there's too much, but you can go back and look. You're familiar with the story. When Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was crucified, Peter at first defended Jesus. He pulled out a sword and actually cut the ear off one of the high priest's servants. But Jesus picked the ear up and put it back on. And when Jesus' disciples saw that he wasn't going to resist arrest, Matthew 26:56 says they all fled. They all abandoned him. They all ran. Now, Peter, we're told, actually followed behind as Jesus was taken to the authorities. But when he was accused of knowing Jesus, remember, he was warming himself by a fire, and several people came up to him and said, you're with him, aren't you? You're a Galilean. We can tell by your accent. You're one of his followers. When he was accused of knowing Jesus, he actually denied the Lord three times. Every gospel mentions it. He abandoned Jesus in his hour of need. Now, you and I know Jesus was going to be crucified, pay the price for sins, and raised from the dead, and it all work out. But Peter didn't know it at that time. According to the information he had, he abandoned his close friend in his hour of need. Now, fear, no doubt, drove Peter to do it. As we read the accounts in the Gospels of his denial, when he was pressed, we see that when he was pressed by those asking if he knew Jesus, Peter lied about it. He said, I don't know this man. And he actually swore and cursed that he did not know him. And the Gospels tell us when Peter's eyes met Jesus after he had done this, Jesus happened to be walking through as he was moving through his trial procedure, and their eyes met, and Peter's failure was exposed. His regret overwhelmed him. Mark chapter 14, verse 72. This is out of the Amplified. And having put his thought upon it, Peter broke down and wept aloud and lamented. Berkeley's translation says, and as he considered that, he wept audibly. He wept bitterly. He started crying out loud. I mean, he's sobbing over what he's done. Now, this is a real person with real feelings. Like I say, we can look back and say, oh, it's all going to be good. But he doesn't know that in the moment. How would you feel if you abandoned your close friend in their hour of need? What kind of regret and guilt would you have to deal with? Well, there's no reason to presume that Peter didn't have to deal with those things as well. And there's every reason to think that he did. Fully human, just like you and me. A real devil to torment him, just like you and me. And it's actually going to get worse for Peter before it gets better, because Jesus is going to be crucified and he will not rise again for 3 long days. Peter will have 3 days to face bitter regret. If only. What if? I shouldn't have. How could I? And on top of that, 2 of the Gospels tell us that Jesus had warned Peter that very night, the night it happened, that Peter was going to do what he did. And Peter did it anyway. Jesus told Peter, before the cock crows tonight, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter did it anyway. Now, before we discuss how Peter got past this, we need to make an important point. At the Last Supper, Jesus told all of his disciples, you're going to abandon me. Matthew 26, verse 31 says, you will all be offended and stumble and fall away because of me this night, distrusting and deserting me. Now, Peter said, everybody else may abandon you, but not me. And Jesus replied, you'll deny me three times, Peter. Now, Peter let pride and what he was feeling in that moment trump the word of God. He had God incarnate giving him his word, you're going to deny me tonight. That would have been a perfect time for Peter to say, well, Lord, I don't see that in myself. Help me to see it. Let's expose it. Let's get it out and help me to deal with it. Now, that's a whole can of worms for another night. But in Luke chapter 22, we get more details about what Peter said to Jesus. Verses 31 through 34 tell us that Jesus told Peter that Satan wanted to sift him as wheat. That's a reference to separating useful parts of wheat from the unusable parts of wheat. It was used figuratively, meaning to test, to see what will remain. But Jesus basically tells Peter, Peter, Satan wants to knock you out of the game before it even really gets started by convincing you to give up on me. Jesus said to them all, you're going to be offended because of me. That word offended comes from the Greek word scandalon. And the word literally means the trigger of a trap or the part of a trap on which the bait is placed. When it is touched by an animal, it springs and causes the trap to close and the creature is trapped. That's an extremely important word in this context. When emotions are raging, particularly due to a calamity in our lives, like the arrest and loss of your Lord and friend, that's what happened to all the disciples, we are at our most vulnerable point to the mental schemes and strategies of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12 tell us, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Nowhere does the Bible tell us to beware the power of the devil. The only power he has over a born-again believer is the power of the lie and the mental games he plays with us to get us to believe a lie. And when our emotions are stirred up, that's when the trap is set. That's when the bait is out and we're at our most vulnerable. That's why it's important to learn how to put what God says above what we see and feel. The depth of Peter's emotional pain made him a target. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.